May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, when I was about 12 years old, I attended a youth camp with a local Roman Catholic church. Having little experience with church, this week proved to be a formative time in my life. And there were a few memorable first experiences. Reading the Bible for the first time. Being asked to think about what I believed about God for the first time. And riding a roller coaster with a nun in full habit for the first and only time. But one particular experience stands out in my memory. On the final night of the camp, about 50 teenagers huddled together in the meeting room to hear how, as teenagers today, we might live the life of faith. I don't recall the passage of scripture that was read, but I do remember that it was somewhat like today's gospel reading, with dramatic stories and allusions to the end of time. With my very limited understanding, I listened to the priest as he told us, when the Son of Man comes, there will be two in the field or two making bread, and one will be left and the other will be taken. And although I'm sure it wasn't the priest's intention, these words left me terrified. I was worried that I might be left, or even worse, I might be taken. The priest continued to speak of being ready and alert, for the time is near. And suddenly, as if in a film, the windows blew open. A strong gush of wind tipped over the lectern, leaving the books and the papers to fly about the room. The priests and the nuns rushed to try and shut the window, but the strength of the wind, because of this, they were unable to do so. And then, as if on cue, the lights went out, and all sense of control in the room was lost. And it really did happen this way. Now, the priest did his best to calm us down. He tried to give us a rational explanation for these events. But I wasn't listening, for I expected at any moment for Jesus to come flying through the window. Now, Jesus didn't return that day. The priest was eventually able to shut the window, and after a time, we all calmed down, let our imaginations rest, and went home to lead our normal teenage lives. But this event left with me a sense that God is very real. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus blew through the room that day, but I do know that the Spirit of God was at work in my life. And my experience that week with people seeking to make God real to me was influential in leading me to the faith a few years later. For God often works in surprising ways, and knowing this helps us understand the difficult passages like today's gospel reading. It is as if they are a bit foreign to our ears. The apocalyptic language seems far removed from our experience. But to place this passage in context, at the time Matthew was writing, the world was understood to be divided into two ages, the present age of darkness and the age of light to come. And the age of light to come would be realized through Jesus at the final redemption of all creation. Now, this sounds good, but what does it mean to us on this first Sunday of Advent in the year 2016? Well, to put it simply, we read of God's final redemption during Advent to remind us that the work of the first Advent is not yet complete. For Jesus is still working with his people to continue his redeeming witness today. And this is why he tells us to be ready, to be alert to the way God is shining his light in the world around us. And our reading from the prophet Isaiah points us in the right direction. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These words are engraved on the walls of the United Nations building in New York City. And next to the engraving stands a remarkable sculpture. Welded to a very large plowshare are thousands of disabled handguns confiscated by the Washington, D.C. Police Department. The message is powerful, showing the stark contrast between these hopeful words of Isaiah and the reality of violence today. And yet, it is in the midst of this reality, in the darkness of our day, where this scripture comes alive. Now, I wish the engravers of the UN had continued on with Isaiah's thought, for what he says next encompasses our hope today. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. To my mind, this sums up what it means to be ready and alert to the signs of God's presence today, seeking peace and proclaiming justice in the stark reality of our world is where our walk in the light of the Lord begins. And when thinking about what it means to walk in the light of the Lord, we may focus our work and ministry here in the church. Now, I firmly believe that involvement in church is important and necessary. And yet, walking in the light of the Lord involves much more than this. For the church, the body of Christ, extends far beyond the walls of St. Peter's. Now, one thing both Father Ralph and I hope for is that each of you will see your life as an outworking of the grace of God. That who you are and what you do is important and necessary to the life of the church. And this is what I have enjoyed most about doing the interviews for the magazine, sharing with others about the amazing lives of people here at St. Peter's. For example, in my first interview with Phoebe, this was a great privilege, hearing of her witness to the light of God in her family and the community over the years encouraged my faith, as I know it did many others. Now, the point I am making is that, like Phoebe, we are all called by God in particular ways. Our work, our education, our gifts and skills are all part of this. So, too, are the relationships we foster with family and friends. In a place such as London, where our work and our relationships naturally draw us into the wider community, we have many opportunities to help others see how the light of the Lord shines in their lives. And coming together in worship, in the sharing of the Eucharist each week, helps us do just this. By recalling how Jesus identifies himself with broken bread and wine outpoured, we see that he is the door into hope and a window to the light. And as bread is broken, we see how the light of God shines even in the darkest places. And so, as we walk through this season of Advent, as we wait in anticipation for the future, let's take the time to recognize and embrace the glimmers of God's light in this present moment, because it is from here, from this very place, when we begin to walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.